As Ellie said, we're continuing our series, Life in Lockdown, looking at the letter that Paul wrote when he was in prison, the letter he wrote to his friends, the Philippians. And we're up to chapter 1, verses 27 to 30. So if you've got a Bible, do grab it now. Make sure you're all gathered round the Bible. If you haven't got access to a Bible, there's a link to a website that will give you Bible readings up there on the screen. Have you all found Philippians chapter 1, verse 27? And I'm going to read to verse 30. Paul writes, "Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have." If you're 7 and under, now's the time to get your craft and your colouring sheets ready. For 7s to 11s, do grab your amazing yellow activity books. Before we dive into those things, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we pray as we open up your word together now, that by your Spirit, you would open the eyes of our hearts to see more of your Son. Amen. H.G. Wells wrote a short story called The Country of the Blind. It's about a man who's climbing a mountain and he falls into a valley on the far side of the mountain, and he discovers a tribe of people who are suffering from a genetic condition that has made them blind. And as the generations pass, they lost all memory of being able to see. All they've known is blindness. And he tells them of the mountains he has seen, and they attack him, that they think he's insulting them. And then they think he's mad. So they threaten to take out his eyes to cure him of his delusion. And eventually he falls in love with one of them. And she says the only way she'll marry him is if he agrees to have his eyes taken out and give up all this nonsense about the mountains he has seen. And he is tempted. He is tempted because he's fed up with being different. He just wants to blend in with everyone else. And then he looks up at the mountains again. So beautiful. And he knows. He knows he can't go through with it. He can't blend in. I've always felt that that story is a very striking parable of the experience of being a Christian. Because we have seen mountains. We have seen that there is more to life than this dark valley. There's another world. But of course, the people around us think it's all in our imaginations. They think we're a little mad. They say if we don't shut up about it, they'll... And Paul knows the Philippians are feeling the heat. You see that in verse 30, didn't you? "Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had." Going on about the mountains he has seen has landed Paul in prison. And the Philippians are facing the same sorts of threats. And Paul knows that under that sort of pressure, the temptation is to give up. Stop going on about what you've seen and just blend in with everyone else. And so he writes, verse 27, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in the one Spirit. Do you see what's on his heart? Whether I get out of prison and come and visit you, or whether I just get news about you, the news I want to hear is that you've not given in, that you're standing firm in the one Spirit, standing firm, united in the Spirit of God. And friends, when we emerge from lockdown, what's the news of our church going to be? It's going to be a great day, isn't it? Can't wait for the day when we gather again and we look around the room and we see all the old faces again, all our old friends, and not just all the old faces, but new faces as well. That's the dream, isn't it? That we would all be standing firm. The nightmare is we emerge from lockdown and the news is that Emmanuel Westbury has fallen apart. We gather together and we look around the room and we say, well, where's Jack? What happened to Naomi and the Blenkinsops and the Joneses? Where is everyone? And they say, oh, they've given up. That's the nightmare, isn't it? That under pressure, we as a church, we fall apart. So what is the key to standing firm as we long to? Verse 27, whatever happens, you might be furloughed. Work may be busier than ever. You might be in isolation. You might be in chaos because you're doing school from home. You might be back living with your parents. You might be facing all kinds of financial uncertainty. Whatever happens, says Paul, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you, I will know that you stand firm. Do you see the connection? How will we stand firm? Conduct yourself in a manner worthy of Christ. Then you will stand firm. So what does that mean? Well, what is the gospel of Christ? Gospel means news. It's news about Christ. What is the news about Jesus Christ? The news about Jesus Christ is that he is Lord. Friends, we have seen the mountains. We have seen that Jesus is not just some religious teacher who died on a cross 2,000 years ago. He rose from the dead. He's alive today. He's Lord. He's the one before whom every knee will bow, the one whose verdict we all face. Because this world is his world, his Lord. And we are accountable to him for how we live. And you look around and it's obvious, isn't it? We have not done well. And he promises that one day he will deal with all that is wrong. And he promises he will put everything right. And that's why, whether we're in prison or in a pandemic, if we are his, we have hope. We have hope of life beyond this dark valley in the shadow of death. Life in the mountains, life with him forever. And Paul says, brothers and sisters, you have seen the mountains. You know the Lord of the universe. Now live in a manner that is worthy of him. Do you remember the man in the story? He lived in a manner that was worthy of mountains. Down in the valley, people mocked him and they threatened him. And there was this huge pressure to give up and go along with everyone else. But he didn't. He didn't give up because he had seen the mountains. And he lived like someone who'd seen them, who knew they were real. Didn't give in. And Paul says, you know the Lord of the universe. Now live like people who know the Lord of the universe. So what does that look like? Well, it looks like a whole series of things that Paul unpacks in the next couple of chapters that we'll look at in the coming weeks. But the first thing in today's passage is living in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ means, see in verse 27, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. Living in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ means doing what it takes to get the gospel out so that more and more people would see that he is Lord. Now, it might be you're listening in and you're not a Christian. Can I just say it's really, really good to have you with us. It might be that you're listening in because you're kind of puzzled. Why do the Christians in my life keep going on about Jesus? It's a puzzle. I am always banging on about inflatable kayaks. I bought one 10 years ago, changed my life. I have paddled down rivers. I have paddled round coasts. I have surfed waves on it. I've caught fish from it. I've watched kingfishers and dolphins from it. I've even had a seal try and clamber aboard. I cannot tell you how much fun we have had in the kayak. And I go on about it. But, you know, if you aren't that interested, I will take no for an answer, because it's just a hobby. It's just kayaking. It works for me, and I get it. It may not be your thing. And the culture we live in has told us that the gospel of Christ is just another inflatable kayak. It works for you. That's great, but it's not my thing. So stop banging on about it. No. We have seen mountains. We have seen that there is a reality bigger than this dark valley that we live in. We bang on because Jesus is not a hobby. He is Lord. And when you stand before him, we want you to be ready. I'm sure you still have a hatful of questions about that, but do you at least see what makes a Christian tick? We've seen Jesus is Lord. So we can't keep him to ourselves. We do all we can to get the gospel out. And notice that Paul says it's striving. It's hard. It's hard. Verse 28, you see that the Philippians are beginning to feel frightened because Paul's ended up in prison and they're feeling heat from the authorities. And in the UK, we're not facing the sort of persecution that brothers and sisters in Iran face, but the gloves are off. People don't like to hear about Jesus. We think, well, why is that? Why wouldn't they want to hear about him? There's no one more beautiful or no one more loving. But you see, there's no one more challenging. Back in Paul's day, Philippi was a very proud Roman colony. And Roman culture was all about living for Caesar as Lord. You start going around saying, Caesar's not Lord, Jesus is Lord. You start saying there is a greater reality, that there are mountains out there, and you are challenging the whole Roman way of life. It's the same sort of thing in our day. Our culture says self is Lord. The way to flourish is to be true to yourself. And Christianity says, no, Jesus is Lord. And the way to flourish is to be true to him. It's hard for people to hear. Jesus is good news, but he changes everything. He challenges our whole way of life. And we don't want that. And that's why talking about Jesus is so often met with hostility. It's why there's a huge temptation for us to just keep our heads down, just keep quiet, just blend in. Maybe that's why church leaders and the media have said a lot about the NHS, but very little about the hope we have in Christ. It's hard to speak up. And brothers and sisters, there'll be a huge temptation for us to say something like, well, look, getting the gospel out is hard enough at the best of times. Now we're in lockdown and life is really hard. So let's just pause on getting the gospel out. Let's just get through this, yeah? And I think if Paul heard that that's how we're thinking, he'd worry. He'd worry because that is not worthy of the gospel of Christ. Because when a church stops being gripped by the need to get the gospel out, it's a sign that it has stopped being gripped by who Jesus is. It's a sign that it's lost sight of the fact that he is Lord. Now, as it happens, now is not a particularly good time to tell people about kayaking for obvious reasons. But if ever there was a time to tell people about Jesus, 26% of adults have joined in with some kind of online church. You've got Russell Brand calling people to pray. People are wondering if there is a bigger reality beyond the valley we live in. They're asking, what if there are mountains? And lockdown may last a long while yet. And if we as a church spend lockdown kind of turning in on ourselves, keeping Jesus to ourselves, if we spend lockdown denying that he is Lord, we will start to get good at it. And we will train our hearts to make him small. And when we emerge from lockdown and people tell us he's just a hobby, we'll start to go along with them. And that puts us on a fast track to caving in. And church history is littered with churches that stopped getting the gospel out, and then it wasn't long before they just fell apart. Why? Because they lost sight of Jesus as Lord, and they turned him into a little hobby. Getting the gospel out is hard. Why it's such a relief that Paul says, do you see, striving together. Evangelism is one of the hardest things God calls us to do. And so often we think we've got to do it alone. No, getting the gospel out is a team sport. It's something we do together, something we need to do together. I need you and you need me because we've all got a different part to play. So what might that look like? Well, in lockdown, it is going to be challenging. Here are some ideas, just ideas. We could invite people to the Q&A on Thursday evening. And the Q&A is all about teamwork. Because you might have loads of friends to invite, but you're not always so comfortable answering questions. And those of us on the panel might not be sure whom we can invite, but we're up for having a go answering the questions. There's someone else helping with the publicity. There's someone else on tech. And all of us can pray, striving together for the faith of the gospel. We could write letters we wish we'd written years ago to the people we love. We could send a book to a friend that would love them to read. I was hearing about someone who wanted to send a book to a relative to point them to Jesus, and they asked a friend in church for advice, and it got them striving together. Maybe you've got a neighbor whom you've been getting to know over the years, and they can't get out, and you'd love to help them. You're not sure if you can do it alone. Get the small group to take turns to shop for them. Reach out to your neighbor together. Heard of Christians who are sharing a house thinking together, how can we work out a plan to be a blessing to the street in lockdown? How can we do that together? As a church, we'll want to listen out for news about Christian mission agencies or mission partners who are facing financial challenges and ask, how could we as a church pull together for them so they can keep getting the gospel out? that might be you're feeling, this is all a bit muscular and a bit shouty and not very pastoral. Surely now is not the time to be talking about evangelism. Now is the time to be talking about how to strengthen the bonds of love between us. Friends, here is the thing. Nothing strengthens the bonds of love between Christians as much as when we strive together for the gospel. That's the sort of partnership, striving together, that Paul was saying he had with the Philippians. Do you remember that from verse 5? And that's why there is such a special bond between Paul and his friends in Philippi. They've strived together for the gospel. A member of our church texted me last week to say that they were praying for someone who is on my heart. What did that text do to our relationship? Strengthen the bond of love. Pulled us closer together. You're praying for someone on my heart? Oh. Friends, the dream is to emerge from lockdown standing firm in one spirit. And you see, with God's help, what will keep us standing firm together is striving together for the faith of the gospel. And as a church, right now, we might not feel we've got the strength for this. The remedy that Paul will give us in the weeks ahead is he's not going to tell us to grit our teeth and pull our socks up and beat ourselves up. He's going to tell us to look up, look at the mountains. He's going to show us again who Jesus is. And that's what we need more than anything else. That's what we need to see his beauty, to see his majesty, to see again that he is Lord. And that's what we pray. Let's pray. Lord, we can't do this in our own strength. So please help us by the power of your Spirit to live lives worthy of the gospel of Christ. And when it's hard, please open our eyes afresh to see who Jesus is, to see his beauty and his majesty, to see again that he is Lord. And we pray this for the good of our city and for the honor of your name. Amen. Ellie.
Mike, we've got some questions coming in for you.
What have you got?
First question, just verse 27, right at the end, contending for the faith of the gospel. What does Paul mean by faith, the faith of the gospel?
Yeah, great question. Thank you. What he's saying is we're out there calling to people to put their faith. Sometimes people say, well, let's just campaign for faith. We want people to have faith. Whereas actually, it's very specific. It's the faith the gospel calls us to is to put our trust in Jesus, who is Lord. So there are lots of faiths out there, but we are striving to call people to put their faith, not just in faith in general, but the faith of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. Put your faith in him. Something like that. It's the faith that the gospel calls us to.
Great, thank you. You talked about self is Lord in our culture. Just help us with how to follow Jesus instead of listening too much to the self voice.
It's good to hear the self voice, to realize what I want and where my heart leads me. But I think a phrase that a great old preacher has used is we should sometimes know when to stop listening to ourselves and learn to speak to ourselves. And I need to, that's why Christians read the scriptures. So we say, I want to hear what God has to say. I say a lot about how I think and what I want. Actually, I want my heart retuned by what God says.
Great. And just help us with sharing this gospel with others. A couple of questions here. First one, how do you share the gospel without hurting people's fragile egos?
That's a good question. There's nowhere in the Bible that I'm called to be kind of rude or abrasive or domineering. We share this good news with humility. Because we are people who've received it as a gift. There's nothing special about us. So the way we go out with this is with to be humble, to be gracious and patient, respectful of the person we're talking to. But actually, I think a lot of us would have a story of saying when we first heard that Jesus was Lord, he broke our ego. He broke us. He needed to. But in his kindness, what he does, he then puts us back together again, and he puts us back together again to make us the people we were always meant to be. There is a bit of us that needs to be broken, but we're not called to be kind of rude and domineering. But there is, when people first get that Jesus is Lord, it does break that sense of I'm in charge. I'm not.
Just a few very practical things, Mike. George is asking, I'm very rubbish at banging on about Jesus. Any advice for more frequently getting Christ into conversations? I'm sure that'd be a great question to be asking in small groups, but you got any sort of starters for 10?
Starter for 10 is look at how Paul does this. He'll go on in Philippians, not just to sort of beat them up, but give them a vision of Jesus. We'll get it in chapter 2, that the one who is equal with God made himself nothing, became a servant, died for us, was raised from the dead, and now is the name above all names. Get a big vision of Jesus. And what my heart is full of will bubble over into my mouth. And so often I don't speak very much of him because he's not very much in my heart. So get a big vision of him. Fill your hearts with him.
Mike, thank you so much.